You're listening to Civic from the San Francisco Public Press. On this edition, we speak to a board member of the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine who opposes Prop 14, which would provide an additional $5.5 billion bond to fund research into stem cell therapies.
I think CIRM has done some very valuable work, and I'm proud of my time on the board. I've been on the board of CIRM since 2004 for its entire history. And we really filled a huge unmet need. We filled a gap. We were historic. We did a good job. We moved science forward. But the reality is, we're not needed anymore. We did our job.
I'm Mel Baker, in for Laura Wenis. This is Civic.
Civic is underwritten in part by the San Francisco Foundation, which has been acting as a catalyst for change to build strong communities, foster civic leadership, and promote philanthropy in the San Francisco Bay Area since 1948. More at sff.org.
The first proposition on the November state ballot is Proposition 14. It would ask California voters to approve a second bond measure to fund stem cell research in the state. In 2004, Prop 71 passed, setting aside $3 billion for research into the exciting field that promised to mend broken spines, cure Parkinson's disease, and provide near-miracle cures of many disabling conditions. The money was overseen by the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, which has allocated that last part of that grant money from the original bond measure. Now CIRM is asking voters for another $5.5 billion to continue the effort. In August of last year, I interviewed a representative from the Institute who made the argument for the new bond measure in a show titled California Voters to Weigh Billions in Funding for Stem Cell Research Again. I'm speaking with Jeff Sheehy, a former San Francisco supervisor, longtime activist for HIV research and treatment, and a board member of the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine. But this isn't another argument for the measure. Jeff thinks the new bond measure is unnecessary. So before we go into Prop 14, can you take us back to the time in 2004 and the politics around stem cell research, which prompted California and the Institute to take on research funding for what would normally be reserved as a federal government project?
Sure. In 2004, there were, I guess for want of a better term, ideological concerns expressed by folks on the right side of our political spectrum that led them to oppose supporting embryonic stem cell research. That's caught up in the whole, you know, choice, anti-choice discussion. And there were serious concerns that President Bush succumbed to that led him to restrict funding for research using embryonic stem cells. Now, embryonic stem cells come from embryos, and they're derived in the very first few days after the embryos are created. So we're talking like within a week, when it's just a minute, almost microscopic ball of cells that you're talking about. And the embryos that people were using were ones that were left over from in vitro fertilization attempts, because people do multiple embryos. So you have these embryos that are just waiting to either, frankly, to be destroyed or in storage for a long time. So the idea was that you could take these embryos, you could take those cells, which had the potential to become any cell in the human body, and eventually produce cures for a whole range of diseases. And so that was incredibly exciting, and it was very interesting research. And, you know, I understand the ethical reasons, but this was a situation where the embryos were going to be destroyed. And I mean, we're talking like just the tip of a pen bundle of cells that have no characteristics of anything other than cells at that point. So, I mean, that's what made them unique. You know, they could become brain cells or lung cells or heart cells or any cell in the body. But at that stage, they were just a little bundle of cells. And so the scientific community was very disturbed by this. And the larger community of Californians took the side of the scientists and really saw this as blocking research that was very vital and important to advancing our knowledge of medicine and to really search for cures. So the voters passed Prop 71, which enabled California to be the one place in the country where you could safely do this research and have funding for it. They allocated $3 billion. 10% of that went into buildings because the federal government was being so onerous, you couldn't even do the research in a building that had been funded with federal funds. And since the federal government funds most medical research, you weren't even able to use the existing facilities. So that was a great thing. And I think the agency did a fantastic work doing so. But the reality is in this year, the federal government will spend over $300 million on human embryonic stem cell research. During the Obama administration, the ban was lifted. The restrictions were lifted. And that's been going on for the last several years, that the federal government has actually gotten into the embryonic stem cell research game. And they're well funding it, more than we were funding in California. And just to put it into perspective, we've had a Republican Congress in 2017 and 2018 pass and get signed funding for NIH with human embryonic stem cell research funding in it. So there's no threat to being able to do that research.
I remember in the first interview I did last year with someone from the Institute who was promoting this, I pointed out that they had really oversold what was going to happen. I mean, we were going to cure Parkinson's disease. Christopher Reeve, Superman, was going to be able to walk again because we were going to be able to repair spines, et cetera. And it took this very hyper-optimistic goal that basically true cures and true gigantic breakthroughs were just less than a decade away. And of course, the problem was so much of the basic research hadn't been done. You pointed out even buildings had to be built and things. So it seems like the original Prop 71 really overpromised.
The original Prop 71 wildly overpromised and stimulated the growth of these unregulated and unsanctioned stem cell clinics. Like, you can type in Alzheimer's and stem cells and you stem cell therapies, and you'll come up with as you dig through the legitimate research, you'll come up with clinics that, will take bone marrow stem cells and say those will fix your Alzheimer's, with absolutely zero data, clinical trials to support.
They literally just inject these things. They spin up your own blood and then draw off the layer that supposedly stem cells and like inject them into your knee or for God's sakes into your eye or whatever. And they're really fly by night operations and promising stem cell. Yeah,
exactly. And we promised, part of it is that Prop 71 promised these cures. And we just haven't made very good progress at CIRM. For instance, out of the $3 billion we've spent, we've only spent about $55 million on Parkinson's. We only have one clinical trial, and it's not a stem cell clinical trial. It is a gene therapy clinical trial. We had to make an exception for it. It's out of UCSF. It's the same thing with Alzheimer's. We said we cure Alzheimer's. We're saying right now we'll cure Alzheimer's. Again, with Hollywood celebrities promoting it. And the reality is over the last 15 years, CIRM has only spent $30 million on Alzheimer's. That's 1%, right?
Right.
Over $3 billion. We do not have a single Alzheimer's clinical trial. Yet you type in clinical trials UCSF and you'll see that they have 20 clinical trials for Alzheimer's. And what does that say? Well, it says that the science isn't really there because Alzheimer's projects have been competing for money, for grants, for the last 15 years. Why aren't they getting the grants? Why aren't clinical trials happening with stem cells? Because it's not there. The science isn't there. And to tell people that we're going to produce cures right now in 2020 using stem cells via CIRM is really driving people to these phony clinics. And that's what's scary. And that's not appropriate.
I'm speaking with Jeff Sheehy, a board member of the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, on why he opposes Prop 14 that would provide additional funds for the organization.
I think CIRM has done some very valuable work, and I'm proud of my time on the board. I've been on the board of CIRM since 2004 for its entire history. And we really filled a huge unmet need. We filled a gap. We were historic. We did a good job. We moved science forward. But the reality is, we're not needed anymore. We did our job. And the state budget, good Lord, you know, it's all based on stimulus money coming out of DC, and that doesn't look like it's going to happen. UC alone faces $1 billion cut if no new money comes in from the federal government. And they're going to have to start laying people off, doing furloughs. It's going to hurt tuition, not to mention public education. I've got a kid in public school. One of the reasons we're not opening in San Francisco is we don't have the resources to do it, the money. And that's up true up and down the state. And then you look at the wildfires we've experienced. We all know in San Francisco about our homelessness and housing crisis. I mean, the state has needs that they're, and let's not even talk about healthcare, right? The one thing COVID has exposed is this huge disparity to access and treatment in healthcare. And we need to address those things, which are the state's primary responsibility. Public health clinics, you know, Medi-Cal, that's the state, right? Public education is the state. That's who pays for schools. And, you know, so instead, we're going to go more into debt for stem cell research, which, by the way, notwithstanding what they spend on human embryonic stem cell research, their total amount that the federal government will spend on stem cell research is $2.1 billion this year. So the federal government is funding this area of inquiry very, very well, yet our public schools are languishing. Our public health is in trouble. We have wildfires. And I think the other thing people need to remember about debt financing is that it gets paid first.
Right. The bonds have to be paid off first before anything else. So right. When it comes down to the budget, you have to pay that. That's not an option.
Right. And we're paying $327 million a year right now for the first set of bonds. And we'll be doing that for the next decade. And then we're going to put $260 million additionally on top of that. And so what you're saying is, before you pay a teacher, before you pay a nurse, before you do anything for a kid in a classroom or somebody needing healthcare, you're going to be paying these bonds for stem cell research, which was more than adequately funded.
Now, is there any advantage, though, to California funding some of this research? So that, because the whole point was to kind of make California the hotbed of this research. San Diego, you know, hubs in San Diego, big biotech hubs there, big biotech hubs here in like South San Francisco and the general Bay Area. Was there any advantage to that? Did we do enough with the first bond to kind of land that industry here in California? Would more money help make that happen? Would that pay off down the road? Just having more facilities that do the research, more high-paying jobs that do this, more talent coming to the Bay Area and to the California in general?
Well, a couple of points to that. First, that did happen. And this is not, by the way, geared to build to fund more buildings. So I'll just put that out there. It's programming. And we usually pay for programs with general fund annual allocations. The second thing is that UCSF received over $600 million last year, the second year in a row, from NIH. So our institutions here are competing well. You look at the philanthropic community, and you know, I know people have beefs with Facebook, but Mark Zuckerberg and the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative is a huge endeavor. Mark Benioff and the funding he's spending on biomedical research, again, a huge endeavor. Sean Parker with his immunology initiative. All of the tech people are spending hundreds of millions of dollars for biomedical research, which is proof that we built it and they have come and they're coming. So the question is, does the state need to keep going into debt to fund this? And the answer is no. So that's the first part. Is there a need? The federal government is adequately funding. We're competing very well for those funds, right? we've got philanthropic funds that will exceed whatever we get from the state, which is going into debt for this. But the other thing is that the part of the promise of Prop 71 is that there would be royalties. They would be income.
Yes, so I was going to bring that up.
To the state. So that's the other part of this. And to date, we've barely gotten $500,000. So for a $3 billion investment, we've reaped it to date about $500,000.
Yeah, I know the analysis group wrote about Prop 71 that they said by year 35 in the program, there would be no additional funds spent from the amount authorized by the initiative. In the final period, the interest and the principal and borrowed would be repaid in full by the end of year 35, so by 2039.
Right.
Are we on track to that?
We're not even close. And just to put it in perspective, talk about what's in front of us, which is Proposition 14. One of the biggest problems are the things it fails to fix in Prop 71. So California agencies, the state of California, can't hold equity in companies. And now that's goes back to the robber baron era and the good government era, I think, of the early teens. So that's historical. We could have changed that. It takes a constitutional amendment. CIRM makes no sense without the ability to hold equity. We have venture capitalists in the Bay Area, and if there's one thing we're kind of familiar with is their ability to throw money into a company and then reap huge rewards, right? That's how it works. You get equity, but we can't hold equity. We could have fixed it with this bond measure, but the board refused to go to the legislature, which could have done it with the stroke of a pen. We left it to an outside party to put this on the ballot, and it takes more signatures. So it would have cost a couple million dollars more to make it a constitutional amendment. So we didn't do it. So our ability to maximize our return is severely limited by not being able to hold equity. And we went through this we talked about this at the board, and we kept trying to really commercialize more of our products and get more of a return to the state, but we got hampered by this equity issue. So that's point one, a flaw that's not fixed. But what's even more troubling is that the new measure now requires that any income we get from royalties, that it goes back to the companies as subsidies for the products they produce. So we now are going to use our funding to make the products more affordable. But what that becomes is just a subsidy, because we already have requirements that demand fair pricing, that demand access for uninsured individuals. Those policies and regulations are completely obliterated by this really frank and blatant giveaway to pharma and biotech by saying, hey, we're going to give you the money to develop your products. And then anything you give us back, we're going to hand back to you as a subsidy. That's part of why this thing is just blowing through. I mean, it's a big gimme to pharma and biotech. It's not a good use of state debt.
So you're still on the board. You're the only one that's voted against moving forward with Prop 14. What's the thinking on the board? What are your fellow board members saying in counter to your own arguments? These seem to be pretty obvious conclusions. Why are they just doubling down?
Well, you know, we commissioned the Institute of Medicine, the prestigious Federal Institute of Medicine, now it's called the National Academy of Medicine, to analyze CIRM and how it works. And one of their biggest objections to the CIRM structure was that the majority of the board is composed of executives from institutions that receive funding. So over almost 80% of the funding of the $3 billion has gone to institutions whose executives sit on the board of CIRM and constitute the majority. And, you know, these executives from academic research institutions, people say, well, they're there for their scientific acumen. No, they're not. You know, they're not the scientists. These are not stem cell scientists. They're there as executives for these institutions. And what is their job? To bring in money. And so this is a blatant conflict of interest. And, you know, CIRM and the board tries to kind of elide over it by saying, well, they don't get to vote on individual grants from their institutions. But if you decide what the programs are, if you decide what the intellectual property policies are, you're deciding things that directly impact your institution.
So you like we wanted to do this particular line of research in this particular modality. And guess what? My institution happens to be the primary leader in that field. So even if you're getting grants from multiple people, your organization is most likely to get them. And even though you're recusing yourself from the actual vote, it really doesn't matter.
Well, I'll give you a good example. The new proposition demands that we have a shared labs program. We had a shared labs program at CIRM that all goes to the institutions. We stopped it because it wasn't a good use of the money. We analyzed it, and the board and the leadership of the agency did not think it made sense scientifically and fiscally. So we cut back on our training programs, and those are in the new measure specifically. Those will go to those institutions. So they got to actually put into the new measure programs that will go directly to them, because if you look at the scientific advisory board that the Americans for Cures had advising them on creating the new measure, which was not created in public in any public forum, they all have received, some of them, tens of millions of dollars. It was kind of encapsulated by one of the executives from one of the institutions when we were debating this, and he said, look, let's not let the perfect be the enemy of the good, you know, and the good means let's not have the perfect ballot measure that makes sure that Californians get a fair return for their money, that makes sure that there's no conflicts of interest. Let's not do that. Let's make sure that we get the good, which is $5.5 billion is going to go to our institutions. This is not good government. And I just know, you know, there's $16 million that's been spent in support of this initiative versus $250 for there is no organized campaign against. And that goes back to, you know, the campaign keeps trying to say, well, you know, they're going to do something in Washington about this. And those Republicans they don't like it, and the right to life people. But the reality is they're not even showing up at the table because they know that there's no big debate over embryonic stem cell research anymore, that the controversy is over, and that the reality is that the science has moved on. Shinya Yamanaka, who's from the University of Kyoto and the Gladstone Institutes here in San Francisco, won the Nobel Prize for a discovery that he made in the middle part of the last decade, that you can take a skin cell from somebody and then turn that into embryonic cells, embryonic type cells, to pluripotent cells. That discovery made human embryonic stem cells unnecessary for research.
I haven't seen the polling, but I would suspect this is not a measure that's likely to pass, even with the support it has. We have a vague picture of what it will look like if it does pass. If it doesn't pass, what does the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine become?
Well, I don't know that it needs to become anything, to be honest. I get the idea that it should become something, but frankly, it's been winding down. There's 35 people roughly who work there, and God bless them. I mean, these are my friends. I care about these folks. I think they've done great work. I think the state could look at continuing it through the regular budget process if they wanted to. But the reality is that the projects we funded will continue to go forward until they use up the money we have. So we're not stopping anything if it doesn't get funded. Those individuals, if their research is successful, can take their grants to the NIH, can take their projects to private philanthropists. You know, there is an article in Stat today that quotes a scientist in Southern California, in San Diego, Gene Loring, who had a project that was rejected twice by CIRM. And then so she said, well, you know, I'll see what's out there. And she went and formed a company, and she said she got $6.5 million, you know, within a couple months. So there's a lot of money out there. The research will continue. We built, I think, a really impressive infrastructure in California to do this. But that, you know, sometimes when government does stuff, sometimes it's a good thing to say, okay, we gave you money, you did your job, you didn't give us all the money back you promised us you would, but that's okay, because we got value here. And it's time to end it. you know, and use the money that the state has for our more immediate pressing needs, because this is not a pressing need. This is not an unmet need. The federal government does this. Private philanthropy is stepping up. We have people who are competing and doing fabulous science in this state and getting way more money than they'll ever get for CERM. So that, rather than having this little slush fund for California researchers and institutions, let's put the money where we need it. You know, I couldn't breathe this year because of the smoke for a couple of weeks, right? Mm-hmm. We have wildfires. And like I said, we've got COVID and we've got education and we've got a recession that we've only begun to even think about seriously. You know, and let's deal with those things. And if the state, you know what, if the legislature believes this is a priority, they're elected to think about this, let's do it out of the general fund. Because that's one of the things that gets missed here. We don't fund programming with debt. We fund infrastructure with debt. And this is not infrastructure. This is programming. The state does a lot of research. They have a precision medicine initiative. They do HIV research. They were, you know, the state was the first place in the country where HIV research was funded. People don't know that. Willie Brown, way back, and Dianne Feinstein, when Willie was speaker, got the first dollars for AIDS research. And that program still continues. It's not a giant program, but it gets appropriated annually. Precision medicine gets appropriated annually. UC Davis gets annual appropriations to do agricultural research. The state funds research, but they do it from the general fund on a program basis annually, just like, you know, everybody else in the state does in terms of their needs. And so let's get in line with education and housing and healthcare and other research programs and other stuff the state funds. And let's have priorities set realistically, fairly, because it's really not fair that stem cell research jumps to the front of the line and says, before anybody else gets paid, we get paid. You know, and that's my view on it. I think you could make an argument for some funding going forward, but we're not even having that argument. And we can't do that with the way the Institute is currently constructed. We can't do it without the ability to hold equity. You know, we can't do it with these conflicts of interest that are built into the agency. Let's fix what was wrong with Prop 71. Let's not add new things like giving money back to the companies as subsidies for the products we paid them to produce. You know, let's take out all the specific program requirements, like, oh, you have to do training or you have to do shared labs, and let's seriously have a conversation with the legislature and not have something that was drafted in some back room by self-interested parties who are able to throw a lot of cash into it, because frankly, they've gotten a lot of cash over the last 15 mm-hmm. years. You know?
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us on Civic today.
Sure. Happy to do so.
That was Jeff Sheehy on why he opposes Prop 14. You can hear the argument in favor of the measure on the Civic episode, California Voters to Weigh Billions in Funding for Stem Cell Research Again. I'm Mel Baker. You've been listening to Civic.
Civic is a production of the San Francisco Public Press, a nonprofit investigative news organization, sfpublicpress.org. Host and reporter, Laura Wenis. Producer and contributor, Mel Baker. Our theme music is by John Dillon. Additional themes from the Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening.
Civic is underwritten in part by the San Francisco Foundation, which has been acting as a catalyst for change to build strong communities, foster civic leadership, and promote philanthropy in the San Francisco Bay Area since 1948. More at sff.org.